You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, looking for your wonderful grace as we sing it. Thank you very much. So deal with us. Well, thank you, Spirit of God, as you again honor our Lord in all of which, Father, you would receive the glory. Thank you, care. Thank you for your personal involvement. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we've been in the upper room, the very special time for his disciples to be his apostles, and he picked the special people for the special time for this special information. And as we've been proceeding, they have discovered the inevitable, he must go to the cross, and that he was going to die. And they have known it a little. Now it's really setting in, and they know it. Judas has gone out to betray him. They're there, and we've shared all of those different things in the process. Now, and therefore, Peter wants to know where the Lord said in verse 33, where I go, you cannot come, so now I say unto you, etc. So where I go. So having said that, where he's going, and Peter wants to know, verse 36, where he's going, and why he can't follow, why he can't come. And verse 37, and Peter said unto the Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake. Remember now, all 11 of them would do the same thing. And so therefore they want to know where he's going, and they don't know where. And they want to know why they can't follow. Why can't we follow you? Where you're going? And we slid over as we did that. He encourages them very wonderfully and tells them wonderful things about tomorrow, because they want to know where he's going. And where he was going is very, very important, because they're going to be there, as we shared in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where, there's your little word there, adverb, where I am, there you may be also. And verse 4, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So he said to them very clearly, and we shared together last time, the little word know. The knower is knowing. To know something, the knower is knowing what is known, the verb. And they already know it, with the result that they should be knowing it. That's what he said to them. You should be knowing where I'm going, and you should know why I'm going there. No question. And the way I know. Now, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And remember now, Thomas goes the opposite. Our Lord said, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. Thomas said, we don't know. He contradicted him, as it were. We don't know. You say we know, I'm saying we don't know. Now, therefore, the Lord, building in his most wonderful way, instructing them. Then we came to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So now he's going to help them. He's been all the way, all these 3 1/3 years, he has made it very clear who he was, where he came from, where he was going, and why he was going there, and what he came to do. So it's no question, but you know, as we shared in these studies, that they really didn't know at all. They should know, but they didn't know. But they heard it. They couldn't put the pieces together. They couldn't understand it. It was too much for them. It was something they were struggling with, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh in front of them, they were having trouble handling that awesome truth. Coming to grip, they knew it was something, but they couldn't put their finger on it. They couldn't have it in their heart with understanding. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way. Now, remember the Jewish people, he's speaking to Jews, the 11 disciples, apostles. He's speaking to them. He's going to speak to them in language they understand. Because he just said, you know where I'm going. You know the way, how to get there. Now you know this. And they just couldn't grab hold of the fact that they would have know something that really in their mind and heart they didn't know for real. They should have known, but they didn't know. Therefore, the Lord speaks in three words that are very familiar to them. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. All three words, as a Jew, they're going to know them. They should know them. Now, in order to see that and to catch it, the flavor of it, and its import, over to Deuteronomy, if I can, Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And let me get there myself. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, what we're looking at is just going to, if you're a Jew, you're in the upper room, he's going to speak in language they understand. So there's no question. So as he speaks to them, he's using terms that they should easily relate to. I am the way. Now, as a Jew, going to the synagogue every week and all of that, Deuteronomy chapter 31, just picking little samples to get you to see it. Chapter 31, picking up, if I may, in verse 29. Moses is about to leave and die, and they aren't an encouragement to him because their heart didn't really get changed like it should. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 31. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And just right in the middle of the verse, turn aside from the way. Now the way, you're going to use it, the way, the term, it's used over and over again, the way. Now, that's what Moses said, listen, you guys know the way, but you aren't going the way, you aren't going to follow the way. Over, please, now, in the light of that, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, we want another piece of information. We don't always have that. Isaiah chapter 43. May I pick up, please, verse 10. 43, verse 10, Israel's Great Commission, etc. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, reason that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So there's none other, no competition, no confusion. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So everything, when it comes to creation, it involves me, said God. When it comes to saving anything or anyone, it involves me. I'm the only Savior. So you're not going to go, nothing's going to happen without me. I'm the Creator and the Redeemer. Now, having said that, in Isaiah 40, over to Isaiah 44, and just picking it up again, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. There is no God beside me. So I'm the only God and only Savior. Therefore, when Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the only way. I am the only God. I am the only Savior. There is no other. That makes it helpful because we aren't trying to find who else is there. There is no one else. Over, if you would please, to chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And you will note in chapter 30, sliding just in the light of all the context and everything, if I can, chapter 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. In other words, you're going to get instruction. It isn't clicking for you right now in Isaiah's day, but it will. Verse 21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Walk when you get it, when you get your eyesight looking to me right, you're going to know the way, and you're going to walk in the way. There's only one way, and you're going to walk in that way. That's what they know. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind while you're here and looking in Isaiah, go over with me, please, to chapter Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, while you're here. And the problem, as you know, that's why Christ died. They didn't know the way. They couldn't get on the path in their old nature. They weren't going to do it. Isaiah 53, in the light of verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died because we're all going the wrong way. And it's our heart. It's our heart that's against going the right way. Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty, the price that was due. The wages of sin is death, and Christ died on the cross because of our sin. Now, having said that, over if you would please, in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, picking up, if I may, in verse 8. Now, God keeps telling them that they need to not go their own way, they need to go God's way. And a highway, said the Spirit of God, and a highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. They're not going to get there. But there's a highway of holiness. There's a way. There's a wonderful, wonderful way, but you have to go down the way. Now, Jeremiah chapter 6. And we finish with the 10 tribes in the north. They go into captivity. The 2 tribes in the south are going to go into captivity. And in chapter 6, in Jeremiah, if I can, chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So there is a way. Did they know the way? Absolutely. When Jesus said to them, to the 11, you know the way. And Thomas said, no, we don't know the way. And Thomas, you're wrong. You do know the way. And I've been telling you for all of these centuries, the way. So there's no question about the way. It's easy. Hang on now. So in the light of that, they didn't want to go down the way. But there is a way, but they didn't want to go down that way. So keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that now, in all these ways, there's many ways, everyone to each his own way, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Now, over to the New Testament, if you would, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And you will note, our Lord, remember now, if the Lord said now in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, 7, and 8, if you're going to go and make me a king right now, this is how it's going to be. If you want me to be your king, this is how it's going to be. And Matthew 6, 7, and 8 tells them how it's going to, this is what your society is going to look like. And this is what you're going to have to change and fix and do. Now, so here in Matthew chapter 7, picking up, therefore in verse 12, chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now take that apart slowly, a little slower. Enter, be entering in at the strait. The word strait means very narrow, a narrow. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Great. And the gate is very narrow, so pressed. And we should go to the next word. And let me keep reading. The gate, and for the gate is wide. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, to ruin, to loss. Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. So there are many, many, many people going down. Many, they're going all kinds of ways, going down the corridor. all humanity is traveling based on the calendar, based on the clock, going down the corridor. Over in India, over in China, over all over the South America, they're all doing and have their religions, their politics, and we're all going down the highway based on all of these different varieties, etc. And as we're going down the highway, and therefore the grace, the gate, and the way, and they're going down. Now, and they're going to suffer loss, waste, loss. They're going to lose out. Now, therefore, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the reason, that lots and lots and lots of people all got religions and all got them, but the way, there's a way, it's a narrow way. God said, I'm the only God and the only Savior. There's no way to get anywhere apart from me. You got to start with me, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Revelation 22, I'm coming. So God, you made it very clear, you're the only God and only Savior. So, but the world doesn't want to, if they're going to exclude you and get you out of the picture, then we don't have God. Now, can we have another God when there aren't any? We'll have to make them. We don't have it because there is no other God. So we're going to have to make them happen. God, religions, idols, etc. Now, because verse 14, because straight, narrow, the straight is the gate, a very, very narrow gate, and narrow is the way. And the word narrow there means pressed, compressed. It's not only a small gate compared to the 7 billion people on planet Earth. That's now. Millennium would be more than that. I'm guessing. Now, in the process, God, you're the only one. So here's the Lord back then, in the day of our Lord, the Lord Jesus is standing in front of them. One man, the man Christ Jesus is standing there, and here are all the other peoples of the world. Narrow. One man. One God. One Savior. Not two, not three, just one. Just one. Limited, isn't it? Because here's all our humans, here's us humans. There's only one of them, right. Now, so verse 14, because straight is the gate, narrow, and narrow is the way. It's pressed, compressed. Now, in order to catch that a little bit, to hold your finger here. Well, let me finish that. Which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, there's only a few people. Comparatively, they're all going down the Broadway. The religions of the world are overwhelming with population, people, real believers, not churchgoers and that, they may or may not be, but for real believers in the world, there's not a great lot of them, not at all, comparatively. And therefore, the crowd is huge going the other way. And few there be that find life, verse 14. Few there be that they don't find life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. But, so as they go down, our Lord is telling them, they're going down the highway, and the gate is very narrow, one person, our Lord Jesus Christ, and narrow, and it's being pressed, compressed, verse 14, narrow, compressed is the way. The way is pressed in order to afflict it, compressed, over. over now, if you would, over to Matthew, while you're here. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And if I may, picking up, remember the parable of the sower? And in the process, I'm going to slide down. Remember the seed falls on just the cement and easily disappears. And the word of God is preached and heard and understood into some measure, and it falls elsewhere. Verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 21. You see in verse 21, in the middle of the verse, the word tribulation. And that's the same as that you have narrow in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Narrow, compressed, tribulation, pressure, squeeze. What happens? Well, you want to go the right way, and what happens? Is the world happy when you go the right way? Does the world want you to go the right way? No. So you believe and you trust God and want to take God at his word, but in the process, the world isn't happy. Your family may not be happy. Your friends may not be happy. Your enemies may not be happy. They may not be happy. They don't want you to go. And our Lord, just to see it, well, so what? If you're going to believe, it's a narrow way. You got to believe in Jesus alone, him only, and you're going to get attacked when you do. You see, if I just go to the Baptist church, Methodist church, Congregational church, no one's going to say anything. Nah. They won't say anything. I've received the living and only God in Christ Jesus as my personal Savior. That's something else. Now, so therefore, John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 16, and our Lord is going to use the word again. John chapter 16. May I pick it up? As you would know, chapter 16, to verse 33, directly in the light of the context. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? This is the disciples now are all listening. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But if you guys keep following me, in the world you shall have tribulation. It'll get very narrow. A lot of pressure's going to come. You guys and your guys are going to get it in the neck, just like the signers of our declaration got it in the neck. You're going to pay a price for following me. And they did. They did. The world isn't happy with that. So the Lord Jesus said, few there be that want to go down the road. Well, I don't mind believing that, but you don't really want to take it literally. God doesn't mean what he says and says what he means. People, different ones at different times, you know, for different things. And you may say this. I've said it. You say it. What church you go to? I go and serve the living and only God. Based on his word, he means what he says. He says what he means. Simple as that. God is quite good at saying what he wants to say. And you take him at his word. What's there to say after that? God meant it. God said it. God did it. So, our Lord, if we're going to do that, our Lord said, if you guys keep following me, you're going to have peace. But be of good cheer, you're going to have tribulation, it's all going to come. And so therefore, Matthew 13, 21, many don't go that way anymore. Who wants to have that? Narrow, it's a narrow way, you bet it is. Only one God and only one Savior. Very, very narrow. Now, hang on. In the light of that. In the light of that. Now, John, Proverbs. Proverbs. And in chapter 60. Proverbs in chapter 60. Would you please note? No. Remember now that the 11, they have all of this stuff, and over the history of their little lives have heard it in some form or fashion. Chapter 16, Proverbs, verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems all right to the person. It makes sense to them. They feel good about it. And they go down it. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Many that be that go down the road. Because our road is quite acceptable to our culture, our country, our background, and we go down that road. Now, having said that, slide over to chapter 16, in chapter 16, to verse 2. In the light of the context, all the ways of a man are clean, pure. They're very comfortable in what they think. That's why we say what we do and think like we do, because we say it. We feel it and think it and use it. That's what we do. It's clean to us. It's pure. My what I think about whatever is mine. I really think about it. I really feel that way. Aha! That's what he said. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's right. That's right. That's why there's no sense in debating it. You want to feel that way? Fine. But the Lord weigheth, puts down, puts the pondereth. He weighs to examine, to explore, to make trial. He weigheth the spirits. God, you know the heart. Chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap. That is your little lap in front of us. The lot is cast into our lap. That's our life, our job, our home, our work, our school, our physical makeup, our family makeup, our world makeup. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, dividing it up, putting it all together, the deciding thereof is of God. God, you have to decide. And God does. So when it's all done, we have our motives and that, and God said, listen, there is a way which seemeth right, very narrow, and then go down that road, but then you're going to undefine, you're going to get a lot of pressure because no one wants to go down that road. If you go down that road, then you're saying what to the world? All the other roads aren't right, aren't you? If you say that's the only way, then all the other ways must be wrong. That's what happens. Some of you have been there, gone through it. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you didn't say you're going to I've joined the church or something. No, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you share that with your loved ones of that, and then they get all upset. Some back in those days, and still disown you, disregard. They do all that. They do that. They do. They don't want that. If you just said you joined so-and-so, they don't care. If you can say, listen, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's a personal relationship to a personal God in a personal way. And that's offensive. And if they applaud and approve it, and you can open the Bible and say, this is what it says, Mom. Then they're condemning themselves. And they can't afford. They don't want to. That means we're wrong, son. Daughter, we're wrong. They don't want to say they're wrong. Who wants to say they're wrong? They've given their whole life to some religious system. They're counting on it. They're going to have a casket in front of it and have all the trimmings. They're counting on the system. It's wrong. They can't afford to say it's right, even though they know it. In their gut, they know it. Now, so therefore, back over, if you would, please, in your Bible. Over to the O in the light of all of it. And on our way, why not, we'll stop one other place where we're thinking, well, we won't do it. Over, if you would, please, to Hebrews. Before you go to Hebrews, I'm trying to chop this up too much. But over to 1 Timothy, I need to do that again because that is very important, especially in our society. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you will note, please, chapter 2, and in this context, I'll read verse 3. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, verse 4, will have all men to be saved, to come into a knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. He wants them saved. For there, and then you're going to say it, God, for there is one God, and only one mediator between God and men, only one, the man Christ Jesus. Mediator means a go-between. So therefore, we try to have Peter, Paul, James, and Mary, and 7,000 others out there to have a go-between. Someone go speak for me. So I don't have access to the king, to the judge. Someone go speak to me for and by my behalf. That's all right. But to get to God, there's only one mediator. Where am I going to go? There is nowhere to go. There is no one else to go to. I'm the only one. You want to get to God the Father? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to get to the Father? You have to go through me. It's the way it is. There is no other way. There just is no other way. Why not? Because there is no other God. Why not? Because there is no other Savior. I'm the Creator, and I died for your sin to save you. Now, having said that, only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And without turning there, you know, in Acts, as we shared, Paul, remember Paul's Acts chapter 9, Paul's out hunting down the Christians to imprison, kill, and get them. That's what he did. And you know what he said in chapter 9, verse 2? I'm out to get the way. And remember we shared last week? The way was the term that they used, and I don't have time to turn there, Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, they keep the way. We're in the way. We're looking to the way. We know the way. That's how they talked about being saved. The way. Are you in the way? Do you know the way? Are you trusting the way? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. And they use the term. Now, having said that, now over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, if I may, He's the way. Now, there's no other way. There's no other way on earth to do it. And there's no sense in debating it. It's just the only way. And you're either going to go that way or you don't go that way. That's all. And Hebrews, let me get there myself. If I can, Hebrews, and in chapter 9. Now remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. He said that. I am the door. So he's the way, and trying to feel it, and he's the door. So when you go through the door, I'm the only door. It's a narrow door. A lot of opposition if you go through it, but you got to go through that door in order to get to the Father. in order to get to the benefit of being saved. You have to come through me. That's why I died on the cross, so you could get to the Father. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, picking up, if I can. Hebrews 9 and verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying the way into the holiness of all, was not yet made manifest, while as the first temple, was yet standing. In other words, you couldn't get there. All you could do is, with the tabernacle, all they could do is go in and realize God had made a way. The tabernacle, temple, Christ isn't born yet. So the tabernacle, you want to see Christ? Look at the tabernacle. Out of skin? No, not very pretty. Human skin. Flesh and blood like his brethren, Jews. But underneath, wonderful. The tabernacle. But the tabernacle was but a there. When Jesus came, you don't need the tabernacle. You don't need the temple. In fact, believers, you is the temple. You are the temple. Now, so therefore, the Holy Ghost said the way isn't open yet. And at least it wasn't then, not then. Now, picking up if I can, in Hebrews, picking up, sliding along, verse 11. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more effective tabernacle, was not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God, you went there. That's right. I went there to get you into the way, to get you in. You couldn't get in. All you can do is look to it and realize, until I had to die on the cross, which is what the tabernacle pointed to, I have to die. And I died. And I am Peter, James, Paul, you guys. You have to understand, I am the way, and you know the way. I'm standing in front of you. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in your Bible, to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, you know, all the pieces, just get the flavor of it if you can. Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, in verse 18. Now, where remission, forgiveness of sin, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, where there's forgiveness, where the penalty is paid. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, how so? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He went and died on the cross, and he's the way. He's where? To get. You guys never could get to the holiness. The priest only could go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. God made it possible for you to get to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't. I'm the way. Into the holiest of all. By the blood. By my shed blood. That's why we come to God. We walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Because we're able to come to God, have fellowship with God, look to God, trust God, know God. God is an ever-present help. Now, God, when we go down this corridor in an awesome way, as we go down the corridor, what are we going to know? Well, we're going to know a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're going to know that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My sheep do what? They follow me. They wouldn't go to any shepherd. My sheep follow me. They're my sheep. That's why they follow me. And they know the way. And John 10, you know, without reading there, if you understand, that no man can what? Pluck them out of my hand. By the way, he said, my hand and my Father's are the same hand. So do you understand they're my sheep? In my way. I'm the only way there is. There is no other way. I have to understand that. So when I'm batting around in my mind, I'll try this and I'll try this solution and I'll try this, just like we said in Sunday school a little bit. We're going to try to, we wrongly diagnose and wrongly prognose and come up with the wrong remedies to fix life. To fix our little lives, we try them, all these different things. And they never work. Nope, but the world does it, and we want to be fit in. So we follow the same system. But we don't have to. So looking to God, here we are going down the corridor, and in the process, and you're the way, and so to the Father. That's right, I am. And if you go down that way, Galatians chapter 4, if you go down that way, and you ought to, I'm the only way. Thomas said, we don't know the way. And the Lord said, you bet your life you do. You just don't realize it. I am the way. I'm standing in front of you. Wow. Now, Galatians chapter 4, to the Father. That's right. Chapter 4, Galatians verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, guilty, condemned by the law, that, in order that, verse 5, they might receive the adoption of sons, full blossom son. In one moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no need to grow up. In that sense, you're made immediate son. You're placed as a son in the Son of a God. Now, point, when he's the way. Now, and therefore, John 14:6, only now I'm going to read it in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, who you know is the way, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See? I told you, he's the way to the Father. It's pretty easy. He said, "Here I am in front. Here we are sitting in his presence. And God, how are we going to get there? Here I am. Here we are." God said, good. Do you want to read my word? We're reading it. Are you paying attention? We're trying to understand and understand. We want to learn. The disciples didn't, but we want to learn. Without any question, God, you're the only God and only Savior. You're the only way. So when I look to you, God, in Christ Jesus, who was born Bethlehem of Judea and died on Calvary's cross and rose again, and in his wonderful deity, he's right here. God, thank you very much. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. And his wonderful humanity up there at the right hand of the Father. Uh-huh. Now, so God, I want to know. That's right. When you receive me as your Savior, John 1:12, you're not going to be as the world who knew. The world doesn't care about the way. They don't want to know the way. John 1:10. The Jewish people rejected the way. They would not receive it. But, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. You're in my Father. When I know you, Lord, when I speak of you as a son, the son, as a son, you're going to say to me, Father, why are you saying it? So that you will understand the relationship. Abba, Father. Father, what was the whole purpose of being the way? To get to the Father. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, who died. Now, having said that little bit, Having said that a little bit, you might not. In October 1995, up off of Newfoundland, up in the ocean up there, and in the process off of Newfoundland, there was a conversation that took place between the Canadian Naval authorities and the ship. Now, I'm going to give you that little illustration because it supposedly happened. I don't know, but it says it happened. Now, therefore, here's the ship. Please, this is the captain of the ship. Please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Here's the Canadian authorities. Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. The captain of the ship. This is the captain of a United U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. The Canadian authorities. No, I say again, you divert your course. The captain. This is the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the United States Navy. Divert your course now. Canada. This is a lighthouse. You call the shot. God said on the way, now either you change your course or crash. Move. God, move. But you can't move God. You can't move the lighthouse. And you can't make God not be God. You can't make God go away. You can't make God, there's no other Savior. There's no other way. On earth, heaven, hell. There's no other way. He's the only way. You call the shot. Which way? Which way? There are many ways. I feel this and I feel that. You can feel all that you want. It isn't going to get you there. Well. Our Father in God, thank you very much for thy word, thy work, thy grace. God, thank you very, very much. We owe you. God, it's so awesomely simple, clear, plain, easy. God, we want to walk in the light that we get where we're going. We don't want to walk in the darkness. We want to go by the light. You are the light. You said you are the light of the world. So God, when it comes down to anything and everything, we're going to end up with you. Rightly so. You're the only God, and you're the only Savior. Thank you very much. Thank you to get rid of the confusion, the competition, the corruption. God, I got it. Thank you very much. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.